Thank you very much, brethren. We have met the worship. Boy, that brought back memories. If I'm remembering correctly, my daughters did that like when they were 4 and 6 or whatever. And I remember back in revival meetings, but I'm pretty sure it was that arrangement. I'll have to ask him afterwards. But anyway, and some of you may wonder, this last name, Van Gelderen, how does this thing work? Okay, if they're students, then they're my daughters, okay? So just help you out. And if they're on faculty, they're his children, okay? So just that'll help you kind of parse the whole thing. My wife's name is Rhonda, and my little sister is, I shouldn't say it that way, but my younger sister is Mrs. Gilmore, and so she was raised with the last name Van Gelderen, and then Mark came along and snatched her away, okay? And we're all glad about that. And so all these Gilmores out there, they're my nieces and nephews. I do claim them. Okay, so that's how it all works. If some of you are trying to put all the pieces together, that's how at least that part of the thing works. And also, I just want to warn you, there are 3 Swanson families that are not related. Okay, so I just want you to know that just so you just put it all straight. And if you there's Iowa Swansons, and there is native Wisconsin Swansons, and there are transplant Wisconsin Swansons. Okay, so if you want to figure out who's who, you can kind of ask around and get all that figured out too. Okay, so let's go to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, if we could please. The book of Galatians. I want to just do a PowerPoint here this morning, and I don't normally do a PowerPoint except that sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words, so I'll ask Mr. Mueller here to help me get set for this. And I think we've got that. Okay, wrong way. Here we go. And so get the lights down a little bit. I want to deal something here. Last night we talked about what we didn't call it last night, the Christ Walk, but we've got a conference coming up. We're calling the Christ Walk Conference. Some of you, of course, have seen the banners out here, In Step with Jesus. It's the same concept. If you want to put In Step with Jesus, you can also do 0-100. It's all the same thing, using different terminology for the same dynamic of a total dependence on the Lord Jesus to accomplish what He's called us to do, a total surrender to Him and a total dependence on Him. It's a surrender to His will and a dependence on His enablement to accomplish that will. And that's why when you see the generation, the little slogan, total surrender, total dependence, that's where it comes from. And the generation will be another way of putting the same dynamic. Okay, so what I want us to do is we talked about the Christ Walk, and I'm certainly encouraged with your testimonies that God's turning on lights. And it's a simple truth, but God has to turn the lights on. He really does. And as He turns on the lights, I want to just acquaint you with 2 ditches that are on either side of the Christ Walk. And may I say this carefully, undoubtedly, even in this room, there are people in a quagmire of one of these ditches. And I will tell you, I get burdened about it because more and more I'm seeing you can really parse what's going on in our world this way in Christianity. People are either in the legalism ditch, or they're in the license ditch, or on the Christ Walk. Now, let me give you an illustration. It's kind of a really bad illustration, but you will remember it. I was just with a guy who was in the Air Force and was stationed in Korea. He says, in Korea, in the rice fields, he said many times they pump raw sewage into the rice fields. He said, in order to get to their base, they had to walk through those rice fields to get to the base, or they're somehow close. And he said, drunken service members could end up falling into the sewage, raw sewage, if you can imagine that. And so that was something they really wanted to avoid. And so there was warnings that when you're walking on that skinny piece of land, you want to be very careful because the ditches are literally full of raw sewage. Okay, now that's the picture that we're really dealing with here. The Christ Walk is the only way you'll ever be clean. And in either other walk, you'll be in spiritual filth. And it looks different, but they're 2 ditches. I presented this material in a little different angle to our faculty staff because I wanted them to see it, but I also wanted you to see it. But I wanted to wait until we at least had some initial understanding of what the Christ Walk is. So we're going to theologically now walk through it, what we did last night, and show the ditches. Now, the book of Galatians is a book written because the people were getting into legalism. By the end of the book, he is beginning to warn them about license. You say, why would he warn them about legalism for several chapters and then warn them about license? And the reason is, when people react to legalism, if they don't find Jesus, they go to license. See, legalism always leads to license unless you find Jesus. Have you ever noticed somebody came from a very conservative atmosphere, bolted, and went off into the loosey-goosey Christianity, everything goes, you know, come as you are, leave as you were type of deal. Yeah, well, we've all seen that happen. And the reason is because they reacted to legalism, but instead of finding the truth, they overreacted into license. Because the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to, anybody know? Christ. That's where it's supposed to bring us. And if you don't find Jesus, you'll fall in the ditch on the other side of the road. So Galatians deals mostly with the legalistic ditch, but in chapter number 5, he begins to open the door to the license ditch and begins to warn people that do not, you've been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to, anybody know? The flesh. Now I would say your generation has been particularly susceptible to the license ditch. And one of the reasons is, I believe, maybe they've reacted to maybe even some legitimate legalism, and in overreacting to it, they end up in the license ditch. And the tragedy is they missed the Christ walk. So let's talk about this if we can, because all hope will be a help. Let me just simply say, legalism, most people define legalism as somebody who has stricter standards than I do, but that's not a good definition. Okay, because there's people that have very, very strict convictions that some are legalistic and some aren't. It all depends on their theological foundation. Okay, so here in the book of Galatians, let's read verses 6 and 7 of chapter number 1. Quickly here, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now the word another there is the word heteros, and it means another of a different kind, which is not another, that's a different word, alos, which is not another of the same kind, is literally the definitions. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert you the gospel of Christ. So license, I want you to see, is a heteros gospel, which means it's a gospel of a different kind. The word pervert literally means to be turned to an opposite. So the perversion of the gospel means it was an opposite gospel. So can I say this? Legalism is a gospel of a different kind. It's not a gospel of the same kind. It's a gospel of a different kind, and it is literally an opposite gospel. It's a heteros, osmid gospel. So let's go here. We're going to walk through this. So we got the false gospel on one side, which is the opposite gospel, the heteros gospel, the perverted gospel, and then we got the true gospel. So let's talk about a divine means. I put a chart up here. All this can be found in Galatians. We're going to move quickly. I've got a whole message on this, which I cannot preach to you because we're going somewhere. But divine means of the false gospel is clearly the law. Okay, you see it there in 21. Of chapter number 2, I do not frustrate the law of God, for if righteousness come by, there's the divine means, the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay, so we know that the law is the divine means of the false gospel. Now, the opposite of that is, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Okay, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. Okay, there's the divine means. You're fallen from grace. Okay, so we recognize that the true gospel, the divine means, is grace. It's a gift from God, God supernaturally intersecting with man. Okay, human appropriation. I know there's probably a better theological way to put that, but there it is. Okay, human appropriation. This only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the answer is how? By the hearing of faith. Okay, so we see, first of all, that the false gospel's human appropriation is works. Okay, I'm going to obey the law. I'm going to do these things to get to heaven. Okay, and we see the human appropriation is obviously the hearing of faith. The just shall live, and that's in the sanctification sense, by faith. Okay, so human appropriation, faith. Okay, the power then comes clearly. What's the power of the false gospel? Okay, this only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of law, by the hearing of faith. Answer again, faith. Are you so foolish? Don't answer that question. Some of you are freshmen. Okay, and then it says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And the answer is, no. So if you're not made perfect by the flesh, what are you made perfect by? And the answer is, by the Spirit. Okay, you're tracking with me. Okay, so the false gospel is the flesh, and the true gospel is the Spirit. Okay, so we see that clearly laid out there. Okay, so now the result of the false gospel. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So the false gospel leads to bondage. Now, let me just help you out, young person. When there's bondage in your spirit, there's a chance you're in legalism. You're going to see in a moment there's a chance you're in license, too. because they both bring bondage. Okay, so there you are. If you're not free, sometimes I will look at a student and I understand I can't see your heart. But sometimes I'm thinking to myself, I don't think they're free. They don't communicate to me they're free. You can tell when somebody's free. And I understand, I'm not critical of you. I'm burdened for you. Please, I'm not. And by the way, I'm not the kind of person who goes around and analyzes everybody I see. Okay, that's not the way it is. It just sometimes screams at me. I'm thinking, oh, I don't think they're free. Okay, so bondage. And then, of course, liberty is the true gospel. When you are living in the true gospel, when you are living in 0-100, I'm telling you, friend, there is liberty. It's kind of like, whoa, what's God going to do next? And it really is amazing because he brings unbelievable opportunities across your way. Yesterday I was at the screening of our new T-shirts. You're going to have to see our new team T-shirts. They're really, really neat. And Mr. Bosler does a great job. And so I was over the screening, and there's a guy, the lady that was works with creative advertising was there. She started saying, well, I hope you're feeling better. And I looked at him, and he had huge scrapes all over his arms and his legs. Some of his tattoos were literally gone because the skin had been peeled off, and he'd gotten in a motorcycle accident. And it was like the Lord said, there it is, open door, white and harvest, go for it. So I started talking to him about the gospel. The guy's wide open. I said, you know why God kept you alive? God kept you alive because if you'd have died, you'd have gone straight to hell. But you can hear how Jesus can walk. I mean, he's completely receptive. He says, you know, I think you might be right. You walk out of that thinking, whoa, there's God again. And so there's liberty in it. In other words, it wasn't hard. It was not like this. You know what I'm saying? It was like, it's just, God just opens the door and it's kind of like, whoa, that was easy to go through. That's what 0-100 is. Okay, that's the Christ walk. That's in step with Jesus. And I will be honest with you, I think all of us realize we need to live there a whole lot more than we do, myself included. Okay, but it's a joy when we live there. We realize that's the way, that's real living. That's the way to live. Okay, so there it is. Now, let's go over to the other side. Okay, we got the Christ walk down now, the true gospel, the 0-100 gospel. Now let's go to license. You know what license is? It's a counterfeit gospel. Now, I want you to learn something about license that will really help you. People who are in license package it with the same terminology as the Christ walk. That's what you got to see. Because sometimes you're looking at people and saying, they're saying all the right words, but man alive, do they, man, this is awful worldly looking. Can I say this carefully? And I'm not trying to be unkind. Jesus isn't worldly. Did you know that? Jesus is not worldly. Jesus would never be conformed to the world when he tells his word tells us not to be. Jesus would never love the world when he tells us to stop loving it. See? So I get real concerned when somebody uses the right terminology. You know, I'm thinking, even in my broadest sense of the world, I think there's, even if I put all my charity out there that I got, they're still over the line. They're like worldly. And it makes me nervous. They may be sincere. They may be genuine, and they may genuinely love the Lord. I'm not saying any of that stuff. Can you genuinely love the Lord and be deceived? And the answer is, you say, how do you know? Because that's happened to me. Has it happened to you? It's all happened to all of us. See, if it happened to a guy named Peter, remember when he said, thou art the Christ, what did Jesus say? Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You know what Peter thinks? Wow, flesh and blood, that man, I'm walking with God. Later, as he said, Jesus says, seconds later, get thee behind me. Same guy. Same guy. Within probably minutes. Jesus commends him. Flesh and blood didn't reveal you to, but my Father in heaven. Get thee behind me, Satan. Whoa. In the same person, you can get it and you cannot get it. In the same person. Did you know that? See. So whenever I see that, I don't doubt the fact that they're sincere and love the Lord and there's some good things I can learn from them, but I also realize, whoa, there's a strain there. There's a river rolling, flowing through there that's not from God. Okay, so the counterfeit gospel uses similar terminology. Okay, so here it is. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. About 3 decades ago, a man by the name of Charles Swindoll, some of you hear him on the radio, wrote a book called The Grace Awakening. For whatever reason, it had a reverberating effect through independent Baptist circles. And I can name you at least one church I know of that radically changed its philosophy because of reading that book. It was a book on grace, and the amazing thing is when you read the book on grace, it never mentions Titus chapter number 2. And you get the idea of the book. I got the idea of the book, although there were some, you know, some things that are closer to the truth than others, because God, you know, Satan never feeds us error, 100% error, so it certainly was mixed with some truth. But the one idea I got of grace is grace is do what you want to do. It's kind of what you got the idea of. And I know that, they wouldn't probably appreciate my characterization of the book, but that's how many people interpreted it. But clearly, the grace of God teaches us to do what? To deny ungodliness. See? And we all know about the grace of God is turned into lasciviousness. Okay, so let's go over here. So the counterfeit gospel is grace, but it's turned to lasciviousness. Can I say this? Grace is not the permission to do what you want to do. Grace is the power to do what He wants you to do. See, that's what grace is. Grace is God giving you joy. See, if you're out here thinking, oh, I'm at BCM, what a bummer, yeah, I'll keep all the rules. No, that's not grace. Grace is keeping the rules of BCM and enjoying it. See, that's the idea, because it's God's will for your life for the next 3 months. So grace is a wonderful thing. So grace is not wrong to turn it to lasciviousness. So let's go to appropriation, and here it is. I believe James 2:20, personally, is talking about, in fact, I may deal with this tonight. I haven't felt total leadership of the Lord yet, but wilt thou know, a vain man, that faith without works is dead? So what is, it's professed faith, but minimized obedience. So we're still talking about faith, but it's minimized obedience. And yet God says faith without works is dead, and I believe He's talking to believers there, but we'll just continue on here. So then, right here it says, and we have to move quickly through here, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, let's just go back here. And you have contrasted here the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Many are familiar with those verses. In fact, I've done a quick chart here. For time, I can't really dwell on it, except to simply say the works of the flesh. Let me go back here. I'll get this pointer here going. Yep, I'm moving this thing all around. Okay. I'm not sure where the pointer is, but that's okay. But anyway, you see both of these contrasted here, and for time's sake, we'll go on. But let me just simply say, but it's professed the Spirit, but it's flesh indulgent. Because God says if you walk in the Spirit, you absolutely will not in any way fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what the verse means in verse number 16. You can ask our Greek scholars. As I understand, it's a double negative, which is an intensified negative. Walk in the Spirit, and there's no way you're going to walk, you're not going to be fulfill the lust of the flesh. Absolutely no way. So if there's any kind of flesh indulgence in the context of, oh, we're all about the Holy Spirit, well, you're in the false gospel. Profess Spirit, but it's flesh indulgent. And it's interesting in verse number 19, he's saying the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And what he's really saying is the works of the flesh are obvious. Why? Lost people do them all the time. It's not hard to figure out what the works of the flesh are. Lost people live there. And then it goes through. Let me go back to that chart just a moment. Okay. Moral failure. We have lost people live there. Divine relationship problems with God, okay? Idolatry, witchcraft, okay? Christians get into that. Human relationship problems, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. Sounds like a dormitory, except for the murders. They're plotted, but usually not carried out. But everything else is there, okay? You know, and such like. The whole point is, God says the works of the flesh are not hard. So the point is, if you think you are living the Christ walk and you have flesh indulgence in your life, you're deceived. You're in the counterfeit gospel. Flesh indulgence is not in any way coherent with the Christ walk, because Jesus would not enable you to be flesh indulgent. He does the exact opposite. That's the point there. We have to make it quickly. So profess Spirit, and then last of all, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. And what happens when you do use liberty to the occasion of the flesh? Look at verse 16 of chapter 6 of Romans. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whoever you obey, have you ever noticed it gets a greater control in your life? So if you, so it's going to be professed liberty, but it's actual bondage. In other words, it's kind of like this. Sometimes people say, "Yo, I'm not under the rules, man, I'm free." What are you free? Well, you're free to do what you want to do, but now you're in bondage to do what you want to do, even though it's wrong. So you're calling it liberty when actually you're in bondage. You're in bondage to doing things you know God doesn't want you to do. And people, oh, I'm free, I'm free. What are you free from? You're free to do what you want to do, which means you're in bondage to what you want to do, because now you can't do what God wants you to do. So understand that the counterfeit gospel sounds good. It uses all the same terminology. But let me kind of put it there, there's no proof. There's no Holy Spirit. It's limited. Or there's one strain of the Spirit, but there's another strain of the flesh, just like Peter, and it doesn't work. Okay, so that's what I want us to see. Now, we put them all together, and there you have it. Okay, so one ditch on this side, one ditch on that side, and the Christ walks in the middle. Now, let's just try to get practical, and we have to move quickly here for time's sake. Okay, so here's the danger. When you get a hold of the Christ walk, do you know that Satan is doing everything he can to get you in one ditch or the other? And friends, it's not hard to get in this ditch, because this ditch over here is simply, like somebody said in their testimony, 1% flesh dependence throws you into the legalism ditch. So if you're sitting here and saying, oh, I failed the Lord, okay, I'm going to try really hard not to do that anymore, and maybe God will forgive me if he sees that I'm really, really repentant. Is that the Christ walk? No. You're into legalism. And you'll be in bondage, and your spiritual life won't work. What you need to do is say, God, that was wrong. I'm going to take faith steps, and I'm going to take all the appropriate faith steps I need to take to get this right. If I need to call home, I'll call home. I need to get right with the dean, I'll get the dean. I need to get right with God, God. And you take God's cleansing by faith. You take and you begin to expect his restoring power, and you begin to expect him to give you victory where you've been defeated. And you know what happens? You're back over here in liberty. You're free. See, can I put it this way? What brings revival is what keeps revival. The Africans in the African revival called it walking in the light. Ever heard of that? I think it comes out of 1 John chapter number 1. And all it simply means is when sin comes into your life, you deal with it thoroughly and biblically and trust Jesus to cleanse you, restore you, and to give you victory where you've been defeated. And so you are constantly living in joy of the cleansing, restoring power, and the enabling power of Jesus to give you victory where you've been defeated. So it's all about hope. That's the Christ walk. But see, Satan doesn't want you over here. He wants you to wallow in your discouragement and despair. And sometimes we think despair is really holy. Despair is not holy. It's unbelief. And it does not impress God. And I've said this like 4 times now, but I'm trying to get it across to you. I think that sin may be worse than the sin that caused you to despair. Because it's a sin of unbelief. You know, listen, I don't care who you are in this room, does not matter how much bondage you're in, there is a way out, and the way is a lot shorter than you think it is. If you'll just take a step and get into that dean's office, or get sit down with your mom and dad, or whatever you know God wants you to do, if you'll just take that step, I will guarantee you God will meet you there. And I can tell you, anybody who has ever dealt with people will tell you, somebody comes in and they start telling the truth. You know what happens? That lower lip begins to dribble, tears begin to stream down the face, and all of a sudden we realize we are in the presence of God. And there are students I'm looking at all across this room who I know there was a day in your life when that happened to you. And you stopped, you moved over here from being in bondage to guilt, and you moved over here to the Christ walk. And you know what some people do? They try to move over here, and they just throw it away and say, I'm not going to deal with it. Hey, I'm free. I don't have to deal with anything. And yet they're in bondage. And they call it liberty. It's, to me, very sad. So much could be said here, but we'll go on. So, human appropriation compared, and I call human appropriation the triggers. You know, in other words, you say, preacher, how can I avoid getting into the ditches? Okay, well, this ditch over here is triggered by works, a works mentality. This trigger over here is minimized obedience. Now, can I say this carefully? Because most of you said, you know, I bet you the problem of BCM, the problem of these students is probably they lean toward the legalism ditch. The truth is that's not true. Can I say this carefully? The problem in this student body is probably not largely with legalism, though some of you still may deal with the wrong mentality. The bigger problem is license. You're sitting at the checkout line, the Holy Spirit says, give her a track, and you say, and you don't. So you tell me, is that legalism or license? And the answer is, yeah. It's license. You're sitting in service last night, and God says, go talk to your parents. You've got to get right with your parents. Call your parents right after the service. You didn't call your parents. So is that legalism or license? And the answer is license. You're saying the right things, but you're minimizing the obedience you know God wants you. And it doesn't work. It just does not work. The truth is, license, I believe, is the crying need of the day. It's the problem. Because the problem, friends, with the Christ, listen, you, some of you are in this room have been here for years. You get the 0-100 stuff. You've heard great messages on walking by faith, and you've heard it now for 3 years on victory conferences. But the reason you don't get it is right here on the trigger. It's minimized obedience. You are not literally sensitive to whatever the Holy Spirit says, you do it. No, there's a debate. See, some of you yesterday fought what I said. Not because it wasn't biblical, but because you didn't like it. But the reason you do that is because you always do that when God tells you to do something you don't want to do. It's what you do. You have a battle with God about it. See, total surrender is part of total dependence. It's like, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm doing it. And you're immediately ready to listen to his voice. If he says give a testimony, boom, on it. He says pray, you pray. He says get a couple of buddies together. You got a need in the hallway. You got 2 minutes, have a two-minute prayer meeting. I hope stand-up prayer meetings become the mark of Baptist College of Ministry this year. You got problems, find a friend or two. Hey, can we pray? I think that is, I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, man, I hope we get a lot more of that. Just pray about everything. So the ditches are on both sides, and I want us to recognize that this is a really bigger ditch than we think of. And it's a huge ditch today, because some of you, philosophically, you're not even down on the ground yet. Some of you undoubtedly are influenced by this. And I'm going to just say this for those of you that are not surrendered and not totally living in dependence on Jesus, surrender to Jesus, and react to the rules, I will tell you, I am talking to young people right here. They're going to be really good new evangelicals, compromisers. Because if you don't find Jesus, you're going to drop kick the rule book. Because I'm going to tell you, one of the most miserable places to be in Christianity is with a rule book without any power to live it. So get rid of the rule book, do what you want to do, and it feels kind of better, but the truth is you're still in bondage and you haven't met Jesus. And we have, I'm going to tell you, the blogs are full of kids that were raised in independent Baptist churches, reacted to the rule book, and now are living in license, and they don't even know it. And they talk about how free they are, but they never win anybody to Jesus. They never see answers to prayer. They have no power with God, and they think Christianity is what they're doing. Now, we see it everywhere. So, hey, I want to ask you a question. When you watch something that has wickedness in it, you watch a movie that has things God's displeased with in it, is that legalism or license? You hear me, it is license. And I don't care if you're the pastor of a church. It is amazing to me. I remember years ago when I was at Bob Jones University, a man by the name of Jim Berg got up, and he was preaching to the leadership in the dorm room, in the room. This is years ago, like three decades, maybe two and a half, something like that. And he ripped Star Wars to pieces. And I want to tell you something, friend. He had done his research. And he talked about the Zen Buddhism, and he talked about the Force, and he went into the spiritual, all the spiritual theology behind Star Wars. And you know what amazed me? The reaction of the students. They were, some of them, not all of them, obviously there were ones that were agreed with them, but there were some that were upset about it. You know, the truth is, friends, I mean, we're living in a culture where you say, oh, preacher, Star Wars, that stuff, that's the good stuff. You see how far we've come? So now we have Sunday school series that use Star Wars to kind of the jumping off point. You know, I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm just telling you what happened to the Bible. Is that not good enough? This is where evangelicalism at large has gone, and it's even affected independent Baptists, conservative independent Baptists. We have had movement. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm not interested in going to movie theater and watching anything that displeases Almighty God. How about you? See, some of you, it's not settled in your heart. You think, that's a little too strict. That's a little too over the top. You still want movies. I'm going to tell you why, because you haven't met Jesus. You meet Jesus and you won't need the world. I'm simply telling you, friend, that if you are over here reacting to the fact my parents wouldn't let me watch this, they wouldn't let me watch this, but man, I'm almost out, and when I get out, I'm going to watch it all. Okay, have at it, buddy, but you won't meet Jesus there. See, the point I'm making, friend, is license is clearly saying that you're walking by faith, but the truth is you're not obeying what God says. David said, I will set how many wicked things before mine eyes? Did you know there's a digit in there? There's a number in there? Anybody want to tell me the number? It's the number zero. So I personally believe that not knowingly, we should not knowingly set something before our eyes that we know is going to have wickedness in it. It's going to displease the Lord. It's going to grieve the Lord. Now that position today is like, wow, that guy's strange. Well, the point I would make on that, it's really not my opinion versus your opinion. The point is, let's talk about it from the Bible. There are other passages I could deal with, but the point I'm making is there's professed faith, but there's minimized obedience. I believe the Bible, but then we minimize clear statements of Scripture, and that's just one. I believe Ephesians 5, 3, and 4 gives us direction. I believe 2 Peter 2, there we're talking about Lot, gives us direction about what vexed us. We should watch stuff that vexed our righteous. So I think there's a lot of principles and a lot of comments that are very helpful in the Bible about that particular issue. So you got license on the one side. So let's move on and just some additional comparisons, and we'll be quickly done. Okay, well, the motive here, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only you lose not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor even as thyself. Okay, let's just go back here, and we'll see that legalism, the motive is selfish. And the truth is, license, the motive is selfish. But in the Christ walk, the motive is Holy Spirit-enabled love for God and for others. Okay, the focus. The focus of legalism is I've got to obey. Now, it's not a wrong focus. It's an incomplete focus. Okay, so obedience is the focus of legalism. Liberty is the focus of license. I just want to be free. I don't want the constraint of all the rule book. And the Christ walk, the focus is who else? Christ. And most of you are single, obviously. But there's coming a day in the will of God, I trust you'll be stay in the will of God, you're going to start down that road of God bringing you together with a life's mate. Now, I will tell you, friends, when you begin down that road, you will find there's certain things that please the one that you God has brought you to live your life with. So I want to ask you a question. Will you try to please the one, do things that please the one that you love? And the answer is, yes. And the only reason you wouldn't do it is because you're selfish. That's the issue. So what we're simply saying is love for Jesus ought to be the motivation. Okay, so what's the need? The legalism for need is faith, walking by faith. We talked about it last night. The need for license is to obey. And the need for the Christ walk is just keep doing it. Abide. And then one other thing here, the flesh. I don't have time to go in at all. Let's just put it down here. Legalism depends on the flesh to keep the law. License fulfills the flesh, does what you want to do. And the Christ walk crucifies the flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's obviously where we want to go. Now, there's the, that's not sewage. I couldn't find sewage, but anyway. Now, let young people, as we conclude, this week, this year, one of our burdens as we have this theme in Step with Jesus, and I've really encouraged the faculty and staff to be on this. Well, let's encourage one another. When we see somebody get in the ditch, let's get them out. If they're in the ditch of license, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, let's get them out. Say, hey, listen, you're minimizing obedience in your Christian life. When they get to the ditch of legalism, you say, oh, you need to trust the Lord. You're into self-dependence. You're flesh-dependent. You got to get out of this ditch. Because if we get out of both of those ditches, we will live a Christian life that is free, that is liberating. There's joy. There's peace. There's power. There's God at work. There's the fingerprints of God. I don't know about you. I think the Christ walk's the place to walk. What do you think? Let's keep out of the ditches. Now, let's just go to prayer if we could, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We do thank you for these young people. I pray, Lord, if we've just gone over this material, that you would just help the young people to put in a heart. Lord, I know that you're working in our midst. I pray that you would just use this to protect us and to show us that, Lord, when we're back in bondage, you're simply trying to help us. When the peace is gone and we're off the track, You're trying to alert us. You're in a ditch. And help us to realize Jesus is the way out of the ditch. Help us to see it, God, and be encouraged by it. We'll pray. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?